Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
Welcome to The Breakaway, everybody. I'm your host, Connor Sutton. And on today's podcast, we have the man who had two assists last Saturday against Reno, Carlton Belmar. He's been playing extremely well lately. We had to get him on. We've been wanting to get him on for a while. It just felt like the right time with two assists on Saturday. And if you haven't listened to Tuesday's podcast, please go back and listen to it. We had Cam Slerner on from the Sac B. We talked about Saturday's match against Reno, the implications of it for playoffs, and much, much more. So go back and listen to that Tuesday podcast. It's a very important podcast if you think about what each team, Sacramento and Reno, needs to do to get the top slot in Group A. We cover all of that and more. Before we get to Carlton Belmar, we want to take a quick second to talk about Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. During the month of September, UC Davis Health and Republic FC are teaming up to raise awareness and funds for childhood cancer. Throughout the month, we'll share statistics, stories, and ways you can help those affected by pediatric cancer. In fact, I'm going to have some stats we're going to share with you right now about this devastating disease. Globally, per year, 300,000 are globally diagnosed. And they're globally diagnosed with cancer every 2 minutes. The average age is 6 years old. Gosh, just terrible. The number two cause of death in ages between 1 and 14. In the U.S., 16,000 kids diagnosed per year. 40,000 undergo treatment in the U.S. yearly. After treatment, 375,000 adult survivors in the United States. Two out of three survivors develop a chronic health condition. 12% with cancer do not survive of those 88%. Just awful. This horrendous disease affects all ethnic, gender, and socioeconomic groups. Sacramento Republic FC ask you to please join us in supporting the work that UC Davis Health does in combating childhood cancer. To donate to childhood cancer research and learn more about what Republic FC is doing this month, visit sacrepublicfc.com/UCDH. That stands for UC Davis Health. Again, sacrepublicfc.com/UCDH. Also, voting is now open for the Republic FC Kickstart Small Business Support Program. You have about 5 days left to vote for your favorite business into the top five to go before a panel that will determine if they'll receive a $1,000 grant, $2,500 grant, or the grand prize, a $5,000 grant from Suncrest Bank. Vote sacrepublicfc.com/Suncrest Bank. One vote per person per day. Winner will be announced on October 2nd. Again, sacrepublicfc.com/Suncrest Bank to vote. And those grants are going to help a ton of small businesses right now that I'm sure need it with what is happening during this pandemic. Again, go to sacrepublicfc.com/Suncrest Bank to vote. All right, let's get to Carlton Belmar. Carlton, thank you so much for taking the time. And I have to start with something real quick that I have to apologize about, because two matches ago against Orange County, I could have swore that was your goal. I announced it as your goal over the PA system. You celebrated like it was your goal over the PA system. And then I went back and watched the replay, and I was like, man, I think Formella got a piece of that. I didn't see it live. And then I hear our public relations manager had to come up and talk to you, John Jacobs, say, man, it wasn't your goal. So I just want to say, that's my fault. I'm sorry. I know that would have been your first one of the year. It would have been nice. So I apologize for that, man.
So I mean, to be honest, I thought it was my goal as well, because I didn't even realize that Derek had touched it. I thought it hit the defender, and I was like, yes, you know, I'll take it however it comes. But, you know, it is what it is. We got the win, so it really wasn't that big of a deal. So.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. I thought it deflected off the defender as well. And then Formella comes up after the game to me, and he's like, yo, that was my goal. And I was like, I went back and watched it. I'm sorry. I could have swore it was Carlton's. Yeah, and hey, you get an assist though, right? So at least you get something out of it.
Exactly. I got something out of it. I mean, me and Derek joked about it. As he said something to me as we were going back to the halfway line. He's like, I touched it. I was like, no, don't tell anyone. Let me have it. Yeah.
So an assist on Wednesday, then two assists on Saturday against Reno. And you're starting to play a little more centrally, getting the start on Saturday. And ever since coming on at halftime a few matches ago, you've been incredible those last couple of matches. Do you feel like you're getting more and more comfortable with this team as these matches are starting to go on? I mean, we're at, 14 or 12 matches, 11 matches now?
I think it was always something that we've kind of talked about, like, you know, throughout the years, like, you know, as the games go on and time goes on, you know, we're going to click that much better. And I think that's kind of what's been happening. You know, we're obviously creating more chances and we're starting to finally score more goals and everything like that. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, whether I'm playing Sentry or out wide, it's like, you know, we're all trying to create opportunities for each other and score goals at the end of the day. And, you know, we're obviously just trying to piece the right pieces together to the puzzle to get to the end goal of winning a championship. So whatever that may be, you know, we're going to try and figure it out.
The offense has seemed to be a lot more comfortable recently, especially in the last three matches or so. And, you know, the word out of training camp in like February was you guys were locked in offensively. Then you take a 4-month break. You kind of lose that camaraderie. You lose that chemistry on the field. Do you feel like that's something that takes a long time to get it back? And now, you know, typically we have a 34-ish match season. We're only 12 matches in. That would be a third of the way through a normal season. Do you think it's been tougher to quickly get on the same page with teammates, and especially in the attack?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, preseason is only like, you know, a month long or so, and you only have, especially for the new guys that came into the team, it's not, you know, it's not always difficult to acclimate, but, you know, it's not always easy either. So it's kind of one of those things where you kind of have to try and, you know, gel as quick as possible with the season coming up, and then obviously to take the 4-month break kind of, you know, really throws everything off. I mean, that was a 4-month period where didn't really touch a soccer ball for a lot of it, you know, or striking balls or working on finishing and anything like that. So you do kind of lose a bit of the touch. I mean, there's some things you don't forget, but like, you know, being in front of a goal and getting those repetitions is crucial for, you know, a forward at any level. And to not do that for a few months, you kind of, you know, lose a bit of that. And, you know, it's been a work in progress since then, trying to, you know, get back on the field and get those repetitions and get that, you know, confidence back and everything like that. And I think it's starting to show, and, you know, in training as well, the goals are starting to fly in and you're starting to see the guys' quality. So it's all coming together.
Yeah, it seems like it is. You know, three goals on Saturday against Reno. And I want to talk about that match a little bit. It seemed from the jump you guys were locked in. You give up the early goal, and then you quickly rebound and get a goal back. Your assist to Sam Werner on hit the header, his first goal of the year. And, I mean, it just seemed like whenever you guys give up a goal, especially early, you really rebound quickly. You forget it, and you use it as motivation. Does that something that you guys collectively think about, talk about, you know, once you give up a goal in an early situation like that?
Yeah, we've been in that situation a couple times now, unfortunately, and it definitely is something that has kind of driven us to kind of, you know, get back on track really quickly, and, you know, that's a testament to the group as well, but you know, it's definitely something that we're trying to change at this point, and trying to bring that same intensity and energy, you know, from the jump. I mean, if you look at that second half against Orange County, anyhow we can, you know, play like that with 10 men and have 11 men and start a game with that same intensity and energy, we can't be beat. So, you know, it's definitely a mentality thing. You know, it's, you know, making sure everyone's locked in from the jump and ready to go and trying to come out with that intensity and fire from the first whistle instead of having to wait till we go a goal down. But we're working on it. So.
The Orange County game, Roro gets a red card in the second half, questionable red card, I think we could say at the very least. And I'm curious what switched for you guys, because it seemed like as soon as that happened, the motivation quickly changed and you guys were playing with far more energy. Do you think it was just like a pissed off feeling, like, I can't believe he got a red card, we got to figure it out quickly now because now we're down to 10 men. Mentally, what goes through the team's mind in that scenario to make them switch that mindset so quickly?
Yeah, I think the frustration kind of definitely kicks in, and when you have the kind of group that we have where guys are always fired up and you know, it's always going to take, like, you know, pushing the right button to get a lot of guys going. And I think that's what you saw. You know, it's one of those things where I can speak for myself. I know seeing that happen was very frustrating, and knowing that we shouldn't be losing to a team like that, especially on the run we've been having, was frustrating at the time, and only was like a driving force in trying to get a goal back. And especially in that situation, you were only a goal behind. So it's like, you know, you grab one and you're in the game, and you can easily go on to win it. So playing against 10 men is always tough, and there's always going to be chances, and you gotta continue to play it out and hope that you can nick something.
What kind of confidence did you guys build coming from that Orange County match, knowing you can score, you've scored two goals with a man down against a good Orange County team who's battling for a playoff spot in Group B, one of the best groups in the West Coast? Does that give you a lot of confidence going into the Reno game and going into the rest of the season, and even as you progress to playoffs?
Well, for sure. I mean, that type of adversity kind of can drive you very far, especially through playoffs and stuff like that, to kind of face that early on. And I think that's the same with how this whole season's gone. We kind of had a bumpy start at first, and you know, didn't really click right away. And that's the kind of things you have to face going through it. And then to kind of be clicking at this stage of the season, going into playoffs, I think it's the best case scenario. We've kind of gotten those hiccups out of the way, and. Well, maybe the Reno game was a hiccup, but you know, we faced adversity, and we've shown that we're tough enough to try and come out on the other side of it. And you know, that's definitely something that has to be a catalyst going into playoffs and that run for a championship. The teams that show that character and that determination and drive through the early parts of the season are the ones that are going to get it done at the end. It's not really the ones that kind of coast through, you know, the whole season without, you know, a loss or anything like that. Those are the teams that usually get, you know, knocked out first. So I think we've done well facing the adversity, and we're hoping that, again, it's going to be a driving force going forward.
And I want to bring up the Reno game. We don't have to stay on it too long, because I know the ending was not exactly what you guys wanted or anybody really wanted from Sacramento's side. But I thought overall it was one of your guys' best matches played, especially from the attacking perspective. It felt like at any point in time you guys had opportunities to score goals. We saw the three that went through. Jaime's, I think, in the 70th minute or whatever it was. I think 75th or something like that. And it just felt like you guys were on the same page the entire match. The buildup always looked solid. You played fantastic. I think it was probably one of your best matches of the year. I thought you played incredible. And I want to ask you specifically, we knew this match was going to be physical. We knew this was a rivalry. The officiating wasn't great. There weren't a whole lot of whistles being blown in certain scenarios. There was a lot of physicality. You seem like a guy who thrives in physical matches. Was this a match that you knew going in that, okay, this is going to be physical? I know that I have to assert myself physically, especially on their back line.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, obviously, I haven't been playing in this rivalry for too long, but, you know, even in the years past playing against Reno, it's a tough team to play against, and you know they're going to be gritty, and you know they're going to be tough to play against. And obviously coming into the game, it's a big game. And these are the games you want to play in. You know, it's not always kind of, you know, playing in the Portland 2s and the Tacomas and everything like that that kind of get you fired up. But it's definitely, you know, those bigger games against the, you know, the bigger teams and teams that are doing well. And especially when it's, you know, playing for first outright, you know, you get pumped up for it, and you know what's going to happen. Like, we obviously know that we've played them three times this year, including preseason, and it's always been a grind. It's always been a battle, and we knew that was going to happen. So it was definitely something that I was ready for and I was up for, and I think everybody else was as well. And just playing against teams like that, you're going to have to battle, you're going to have to grind, and you're going to have to earn the right to play. And I thought we did that. Like you said, I feel like that was one of our best performances of the year. But to kind of slip up and have a mental lapse at the end there, I think that's the frustrating part, is that we played that well and we did a lot of the things that we've been trying to do all year in that 93 minutes, just to kind of, you know, let it slip. So it's a learning process at the end. So, you know, we can only build on it.
And I know, I'm sure, after a game like that, the motivation now become almost builds to a new level because you know you're going to play Reno again. Hopefully it becomes a game where it's also Group A's on the line for the top slot. Do you guys, you know, I mean, I'm assuming after in the locker room, it was a lot of frustration, but when you talk about in training this week, have you guys focused, have you guys talked about it as a group? Okay, we got to get this behind us. We know how good we are. Let's just focus on what we can control ahead of us and let's use this as motivation.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I think, I mean, I'm proud of the atmosphere that was in the locker room, you know, after the game, because it's like, you know, guys came in the locker room and they're pissed off, and that's how it should be. You know, when I think we hold ourselves to a higher standard than to, you know, give up three goals in a game as it is, and to even give up a goal late like that against an arrival is, you know, even more frustrating. So, like I said, we hold ourselves to a higher standard than that. And, you know, that's been the focus going into training this week, is to continue to build on that standard that we have for ourselves and making sure that we're, you know, using the right habits in training into the week going into the game, because obviously you're going to practice how you play. So we're just trying to make sure that that doesn't happen again, and make sure that we're playing all the plays from here on out, you know, in training, and then carrying that into the games.
All right, I want to transition a little bit, because I think something that's really interesting about you is you have a really funny, strange, awesome relationship with Cammy Wass. I saw it on Media Day. I know that was like 5-6 months ago.
Yeah.
But you guys were joking around the whole time. Very little of it was usable. I think we actually put out a video. I was shocked there was actually stuff in there we could use. Talk a little bit about your relationship with Cam and how well you guys get along.
Yeah, you know, I've played against Cam. I think we came into the league the same year. So we've kind of always like known of each other. And then we ended up at Sporting and Soap in 2017 and kind of, you know, bonded and clicked through there. You know, just a good guy. And we've always just had a good banter with each other and everything like that. So, you know, that's, I think that's where that comes from. And then obviously, you know, coming here, that's just continued, you know. I haven't really missed a beat since, you know, being at Swope, but, you know, he's a good dude and just easy to be around and a good teammate. So, you know, that's kind of where that comes from. And we've always, like I said, just had just good banter. So
what did he have a factor in you coming to Sacramento this offseason?
Not necessarily. I knew that obviously, you know, coming here and Cam's like, you know, a staple here and a forward that, you know, is going to get goals and you want to be a part of something like that where, you know, there's goals flying and whether it's assisting or creating goals, Cam's like, you know, a factor in that and one of the best in the league at it. So, was he the first person I contacted when, you know, the deal was going through? Yes. Like I had to consult with him and be like, hey man, like, you know, what's the situation? What's going on? You know, let's go win something. And that's kind of how it went. But I played with Cam at Swope and, you know, had a good relationship there. So, you know, I felt like it would be a good idea to come here and kind of join up and try and go win something. So
you played at a number of various places, Portland Timbers, New York Cosmos for a bit, Swope Park, as you mentioned, Sporting KC, and Nashville SC last year. And I'm curious, you know, what are your various memories from not necessarily each place, but when you consider and you compare Sacramento and the Republic to those other clubs, what are the similarities? What are some of the differences?
I think the ambition for me here is, you know, is up there with the rest of them. I think it's, the club has a vision of where they want to be and what they want to accomplish. And obviously, you know, they've won things in the past and obviously just kind of being from, you know, teams that have won like Sporting and the New York Cosmos and even at Swope, you know, where we, you know, went on that, where they've, you know, gone on a run in the USL as well and just kind of being around these winning mentalities. You know, I see a lot of that here, you know, from Todd and Mark and even the conversations I've had with them and where they want to go in the future and take this whole project is definitely motivational and something that really, you know, piqued my interest, you know, going forward. It's you kind of want to be around people who want to win and want to, you know, move forward and reach the highest level possible. And, you know, that's the only thing I see here. The city as well is all bought in, and it's very similar to, like I said, like Kansas City or Portland, and where you know, you have to have the whole community bought into the project. And that's definitely something that Sacramento has. And I've always kind of watched from afar and kept an eye on how things are going here. And obviously they finally got the MLS bid and everything. So it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you the winning mentality and the desire to reach bigger summits is something that's going to attract people at the end of the day. And I think that's, you know, another reason why I chose to come here was, you know, that drive and that ambition.
Well, I mean, I think one of the biggest, you know, draws for people when they, you know, free agents, when they want to come to Sacramento is, oh, we know they have a great fan base. We know home games are going to be very lively.
Yeah.
This year you come here, then there's no fans other than opening night, which you didn't play in because you broke your nose.
Yes.
Which I feel so bad because I want you to be able to experience the playing in front of the fans, especially in Sacramento as you know, being one of the Republic. So I hope that happens soon or whenever it happens, but I hope it happens. But I'm curious, you know, the not playing with fans just has to be so strange. I've talked to a number of players on the team. I've talked to Coach Briggs about it, and everybody has a little bit of a different take on it. You know, I feel like a lot of times as a professional player, I would imagine you do feed off the crowd a bit, whether it's the boos, whether it's the cheers, you feed off it a little bit. Now there's none of that. It's almost silence. You can hear the players on the field. You know, occasionally you'll hear coaches yelling, things like that, referees in certain situations. How do you stay focused and without being able to feed off the crowd, you know, stay energized for an entire 90 minutes?
Man, I can't really even put a finger on it, to be honest. It's definitely been an experience. You know, especially just from playing in Sacramento in the past, like coming here on opposing teams, you know, I know what this atmosphere is like, and I know what the fans can bring for Sacramento, and to not really have that is just kind of been interesting. It is one of those things where you just have to find your own motivation in it, and as a group, we found our motivation in terms of, you know, we know the fans are at home watching, and we've seen the watch parties, and, you know, even the fans that will show up at the fairgrounds as well, you know, in the back watching. It's definitely motivational in that sense that, you know, we have a community that supports us and wants to see us do well and has definitely reached out and tried to motivate us along the way. And, you know, we're playing for them as well as, you know, trying to bring a championship to the city. So, It's an interesting experience, but, you know, we know what we're doing it for and we know who we do it for. So, and it's kind of something we just kind of put behind us, you know?
Yeah. I just can't imagine. It's gotta be, you know, tough when you think about, I'm going to go play in Sacramento. They have this great, you know, crowd. We always talk about it. And then you come, you've played a year before as an opponent and you come expecting that and you don't really get it. I mean, I feel like it's gotta be a little bit strange. I'm curious though. I just don't – the relationship with the fans, a lot of times with players, they get to see your face at the games. They come down and talk to you, things like that. I feel like specifically for you as one of the guys who came in this year, the fans don't get to know you as well because they don't get to see you in person. They don't get to meet you face-to-face. You know, they can listen to this podcast really is one of the best ways to get to know you. But that kind of relationship between the players and the fans is essentially not really there right now. So I'm excited to see whenever fans come back. I'm looking forward to seeing a Carlton Belmar goal because the place is going to go nuts. I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to call the goal right. We're going to make sure we make sure it's you so we don't mess with that. So it's going to be, oh man, I'm just excited. I'm excited for you. But I want to know, you've been in Sacramento a little while now. Do you have some favorite spots? I know sometimes, you know, food has been kind of closed down, but do you have favorite spots to go grab a takeout meal or even dine in when that was open?
Yeah. Chondo's and Indian Oven. Hopefully those guys check the podcast out and give me a sponsorship because I spend way too much money at both of those places. I randomly ran to a Chondo's food truck one day and I was like, oh, let me check this out. And since then I've been you know, at least go once a week at this point and pick it up and you know, and head back to the apartment and chow down. But Indian oven as well. I think Rafa put me onto that, and it's been a selling point for me ever since. And I've spent way too much money at both of those places at this point. But
I feel like Rafa's got a really good, I mean, he was in New York for a while, and New York people from New York, they know food well. It might be a stereotype, but I feel like it's true. So anytime he gives you some sort of food recommendation, I feel like you got to take it, right?
Yeah, no, we were on the bus. He's like, "Yo, have you heard of Indian oven?" I was like, "No." I was like, "It's amazing." And I was like, "All right, I'm sitting right there." I went ahead and ordered it, and it got delivered to my door. And I life changing experience for me in terms of Indian food. So, it's on my top favorite on DoorDash, and I just go ahead and just hit deliver on there and don't even have to put my order in anymore.
It's automatically saved. I feel like that's dangerous. I've had to download that app many different times because sometimes it can get up there with the price.
Exactly. Yeah, no, especially when you're ordering, you know, take out, you know, two, three times a week in this whole pandemic situation. So yeah, no, I've definitely had to, you know, try to look at it and be like, all right, put it down. Let's eat something different tonight.
Right. I guess you got to make something from home, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's one thing I've learned in this whole thing. I can cook a little bit now. You know, I know how to make some pasta, learn how to cook some steak, you know, try some things here, but I'd rather the table.
It's going better though. You're getting the hang of it.
I'd say get in the hang of it a bit. You know, we may or may not have almost burnt the apartment down a couple of times, but you know, we're figuring it out. We're figuring it out.
Oh man. All right. Well, I guess that's something I wasn't expecting. Almost burned down the apartment, man. All right. We guess we got to up the insurance, huh?
It was smoky in here a couple of times, and we're like, all right, let's open up the windows and let's probably look at the instructions again on this. Something different. All right.
That's great. I want to transition a bit to talk about your time at VCU. 76 appearances for the Rams. You scored 18 goals, 5 assists. As we talk about, so you know, some players, for instance, Hayden Sargis, not going to college to play soccer, you know, more youth system becoming a bigger part of soccer in the United States. What was your experience like playing soccer in college, and how does that differ, do you think, from a situation, you know, like Hayden? I'm sure he's going to do things online, but not getting to actually play soccer, you know, at the college level.
You know, I think the league and soccer in the United States has kind of progressed to where you're starting to see, like, you know, kids in Hayden's situation kind of, you know, skipping that route. You know, I've kind of been in split on, you know, I think what is best, but I think playing college soccer has definitely made me, you know, the player and the man I am today. You know, just from, you know, kind of being in a brotherhood situation where, you know, you're around a group of guys for 4 years and kind of, you know, have a family, and you learn so much different things, like culturally and personally about yourself, just having to work with people in that type of situation and go to school on top of that. It's definitely, you know, taught me a lot, and I hold my experience at VCU very close to my heart because, you know, I have brothers for life from that I think you kind of miss out in the pro game because at the end of the day, it's a business. And, you know, if anything that I've learned in this, it's, you know, tomorrow in this game is not necessarily guaranteed. You know, you're one place for a year, and then you might be in another locker room the next. So you don't really get to build those bonds and those friendships and those life experiences with people. So you're kind of on your own. And I think it's kind of a big ask for, you know, kind of young kids to kind of get thrown into that right away, especially when it comes to, like, you know, managing your own money and, you know, kind of like whether it might be living alone or living in a city that you're not familiar with. it's definitely something that I think is very interesting, and I got to give those kids credit, because, you know, that takes, you know, a mentally tough person, and I only, you know, can hope that they, you know, prosper and grow in that environment. So I don't know. I think college is a great step, but also, you know, if you have the ability to, you know, go and play at this level as soon as possible, then I think that's also a good idea, you know, especially, you know, for Hayden especially, and Mario both. They're involved with, you know, the youth national teams, and you know, they're expected to go and do great things, and, you know, the sky's the limit for them. I think you got to see a lot of what Hayden can do, and if Hayden's willing to put the work in and continue to grow and grind away, he could easily end up in Europe or something like that. So it's definitely a good opportunity for them, and you know, if they're willing and have that ambition and drive, the sky's the limit.
Well, I know since looking at some of the academy systems, the MLS now putting together their kind of own academy system after United Soccer shutting down, I think some of the things that they need to implement is exactly what you're talking about. You know, being able to get some sort of brotherhood relationship, helping them out with, you know, teaching them how to use their finances intelligently. And I think that's the next step, and to make it to have a similar experience that you had at VCU. So I'll be interested to see if they do make those tweaks as they continue to build, because as we've seen, a lot of United States top players are now going overseas. And I think that's a good step. It's only going to make soccer in America better eventually. So interesting to get your take on that for sure, though.
Sure. No, I mean, that exactly. So I wasn't fortunate enough to know, to you know, be young and have that professional environment around, and you can definitely see what it does for, you know, kids at this age. Like, Sacramento has an abundance of talent in their academy, and I think it's awesome to see that. It's just like, you know, the part that I'd only worry about for those kids is, you know, being around people that have their best interest in mind, not just the coaches, but the players as well. You know, you kind of get thrown into these professional environments. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You know, a lot of these guys are making money to feed their families and, you know, trying to accomplish their own things. And we're not here to necessarily nurture young kids. That's not our job. You know, our job is to play and do our own thing. So where that's different in college is you got guys that are there to help you, guys that are going to like motivate you and push you along. And because they all, you know, you have a collective goal at the end of the day, because it's for locked in years. You know, some guys are obviously going to move on at some point, but you know, you have 4 years in a place basically guaranteed, unless you obviously skip to go pro. But it's something that, you know, you're allowed to grow in and flourish in, whereas like the pro game, you could be one place for 1 year and, like I said, be in the next. And as a young kid, that can be tough to kind of grab and do well in. So I've had mixed feelings about the whole thing as I've seen it go on.
I know. I think that's totally good. I think it's good for people to hear that, because what you're talking about and your experience you had is so crucial. And I mean, I can't imagine having to jump as an 18, 19 year old kid from city to city, not knowing anybody. You're not even completely socially, you know, a finished product necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. That would be extremely, extremely tough from a mental capacity. So I don't know. I think you made some really, really good points there of why people should still consider playing in college and going to college. I mean, we still see it every day. We see the MLS Super Draft almost all the time. Kids are coming from college, almost primarily from college. So it's definitely something interesting. A couple more things I want to get to. You did get to make, I think, 5 appearances for Sporting KC at the MLS level. I want to hear about what that experience was like. What was the call like when you knew you were going to go play for the first team and you were going to get some minutes? What was that experience like?
Man, I think Kansas City as a whole, I take that similarly to my experience at VCU, where that was life-changing for me, just to kind of be in that environment. Testament to everything that Sporting does, like they've got it down to a T when it comes to, you know, the environment that they want to create and the mentality that they want to create as well. They really challenge you and force you to kind of dig deep and you know, become a better player. And I think that's exactly what happened there. So, you know, being in that environment and being able to play with Swope and you know, do well, you know, obviously, you know, put me in a position where I was able to get the call up. And I mean, I still remember that day because that was something that I've, you know, been waiting for, even, you know, in 2015 when for the draft, you know, the goal was to hopefully sign an MLS contract. And when that didn't happen, you know, I kind of, you know, put my head down and said that I'm going to make it happen one way or another. And to finally, you know, reach that goal, you know, this was an unbelievable moment. I did maybe shed a tear in the locker room just because it was one of those moments that, you know, just came to fruition where just been the blood, the sweat, you know, the long nights, the hot days in the sun where, you know, I mean, even me and Cam would kind of joke around after practice in KC, we're laying on the field and looking up and being like, if you close your eyes, you can hear the beach. Like that was like one of our things. And it's those moments that you experience and that you really look back at and be like, man, it was all worth it. So to get that call up at Sporting was, you know, amazing. And the opportunity to even, you know, play MLS, that was always a dream, you know, growing up in Virginia and kind of watching, you know, DC United from afar was always something that was, man, I want to be there one day, you know, and have that opportunity. So, you know, I'm grateful to the Sporting Kansas City organization for giving me that opportunity, helping me realize a dream. And you know, it only makes me happy just even thinking about my experience there. So it was great.
I love hearing people's stories of their MLS debut and things, because you can just tell it. You can tell you when they rethink about it, they retell it, that their dreams came true that day. And you're just hearing the story. It kind of brings the listener into the moment and feels what you're feeling to a certain extent. You know what I mean? So I'm curious, that first match, you're with Sporting Kansas City, you get your name called, you know, you're going in, you know, you're going to play.
Yeah.
Are you nervous? Are you locked in? What's your mindset?
Well, we were in Houston, and well, it was interesting because I got to play an Open Cup game in Houston that year as well, a couple months earlier. But you know, to be rostered in an MLS game for it, you know, it was definitely a different feeling. But we were down a goal with the last 10 minutes left, and it was kind of, hey, like, you know, I remember Peter, like, just, you know, calling my name, and I was kind of looking around like me. And, you know, yeah, so, you know, called my name and remember going up to the line, and he's like, you know, go in and change the game and affect the game. And that was the only real instruction I got. And it was just, you know, get thrown out there into the fire. And it was a fun experience. A very exciting moment, you know, just to kind of, you know, be watching those games on TV to finally being there as well. And then I also had some of my old youth coaches from Virginia that were actually, you know, in Houston at the time, unannounced, and I had no idea, and they surprised me. So that was like a really cool experience. Like, as my name was getting called, like, you know, my youth coach was like, hey, Belmar. And I looked and I was like, oh, no way. Like, you know, and then I remembered, like, hey, I got to go get ready and everything. it was definitely a very cool experience. Unfortunately, we lost the game, but, you know, it still was, you know, a monumental moment for me. And I remember calling my mom after, and like, hey, Mom, like, you know, I did it, you know, finally made it happen. So it's definitely been something that's driven me forward even since then. And just, you know, anything is possible if you, you know, put your mind to it and are willing to put the work in. So I'm grateful for that 100%.
Well, it's great to hear that story. And I know, you know, our fans are going to listen to this, get to know you a little bit better. So I'm super grateful that you took the time to talk to us today. And just have to say congratulations on the team's success the last, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks. You guys have been on a tear. I know the draw on Saturday wasn't what you guys wanted, but it seems like the guys are really starting to play at a very high level and looking forward to you know, the rest of the season, and looking forward to you guys competing in the playoffs.
Thank you. We're planning on putting a run together here, and we're clicking at the right time. So I'm really looking forward to the playoffs, and then obviously to seeing some fans in those stands hopefully soon, you know? So I'm looking forward to it.
I know. It's going to be great, man. Yeah, and I promise when you do score your first goal this year, maybe it's next match, maybe it's this Sunday, that it'll be correct. What's that?
I said, let's go for next match. We're calling it for Sunday.
Next match. Okay. Sounds good. So hang on. Let me just say this, though. If you score Sunday, does that mean you're coming on the podcast next week, too? Is it like a good luck thing?
Yeah. I think that would only be right. I think it would have to be a weekly thing at that point. But until I stop scoring, I'm on the podcast weekly.
All right, man. Hey, I'm going to have to hold you to that.
Fair enough.
All right, Carlton. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And we'll see you on Sunday, man. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Our thanks to Carlton Belmar for coming on the podcast today. Had a lot of fun talking to him. He just seems and is such a good guy. Had a lot of fun joking around with him and hearing about his story and hearing about his dreams come true playing in Major League Soccer years ago. All right, coming up on Sunday, Sac Republic in a big match, taking on Tacoma Defiance. We'll see what happens. Tacoma actually plays Reno tonight. If Reno wins, or draws, if there's a draw, then Sac Republic clinches a playoff spot. However, we don't really want that. We want Tacoma to beat Reno, so then Sacramento has a better chance of getting the top slot in Group A. So just keep that in mind if you're looking at Twitter tonight or whatever you're looking at to see the updates. Sacramento only needs one more point to clinch a playoff spot. However, we do want Tacoma to beat Reno, because then Sacramento's match with Reno next week, I believe, 2 weeks from now, becomes even bigger. So just keep that in mind. And then obviously Sacramento playing Tacoma Defiance on Sunday now, not Saturday, now Sunday, 7:30 p.m. at Papa Murphy's Park. You can watch that online at ESPN Plus if you have ESPN Plus, Estrella TV, and of course KQCA My 58. So you can catch those all there if you want to watch Sunday's match. And I know you do, because the Republic have been playing really well. They've been a lot of fun to watch, especially last Saturday. And I imagine they'll be even a little more motivated coming into Sunday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, don't forget, go to sacrepublicfc.com/UCDH to learn more about childhood cancer and where you can donate. Also, don't forget, voting is open for the Republic FC Small Business Support Program. About 4 days left to vote for your favorite minority-owned small business to get them into the top five that will go before a panel that can get a $1,000 grant, $2,500 grant, or $5,000 grant from Suncrest Bank. Go to sacrepublicfc.com/Suncrest Bank to vote now, and we will see you on Sunday. Don't forget, hop on Facebook Live half hour before the match. I'll be out there hanging out with you guys as we take a look at warmups and do some goal predictions. The score predictions lately have been a lot of fun. If you get your final score correct on our Facebook Live, you comment it, and then we will send you a Sac Republic swag bag. So pretty cool. If you want to jump on Facebook Live, that's at 7 p.m., obviously, on Sac Republic's Facebook. We'll see you on Sunday, and as always, go Republic!